Greetings in the name of Christ to my brothers and sisters in the Lord, my friends. I was thinking this morning of my friends and what a blessing it is to know each of you in the likeness that God has created you in His likeness. Being a part of the family of God is a great privilege. Being a part of a church family, local, it's a real blessing to my life. I'm so glad you're here today, that together we worship our Lord, we invite Him to have His own way. Amen? Yes. Have Thine own way, Lord. Because You're the potter and I'm the clay. I shared a couple of weeks ago in moderating how that, you know, we're all broken. And we need the potter, the touch of the master's hand to take these broken pieces, these tangled strains, as a hymn writer said. Take these ashes. Take these ugly things. Take these sins. Oh, I had so many sins. Lord Jesus, take these sins away. Hallelujah. Can we kneel together before the Lord and ask His divine help? Amen. Our Father in heaven, we bow before You this morning upon our knees to acknowledge that You are the Lord Supreme, King of the universe, Lord of lords and King of kings. And Father, we just do desire to yield ourselves to You, to surrender ourselves to You, as we heard in the opening devotional. Not my will, but Thy will, Lord. To do those things that please You. Father, this morning we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus that You would have free course here. Free course in my life. Free course in the life of my brothers and sisters. Free course in the life of my dear friends. Free course in each one of us as we hear Your word. Father, we ask that You would captivate our hearts today. We ask that You would reveal Your truth to us today. And Father, that we would, with humility, humble our hearts before You and receive the truth and acknowledge the truth and be set free. Your truth sets us free, Lord. Jesus Christ makes us free. And if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. O Lord God, grant us the grace and power of the revelation of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit upon each of our hearts to teach us all things of the Lord Jesus. We ask these things in the name of Jesus with thanksgiving. Amen. Let us turn to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. I think for sake of time, we'll sort of break in verse 5. Speaking of the priests who serve the example and shadow of the heavenly things, As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, "For see," saith he, "that thou make all things according to the pattern shown to thee in the mount." Verse 6, "But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. But finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers, in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. They shall not teach every man his neighbor, every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, A new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Outward religion equals defeat. Holding to external ordinances. Touch not, taste not, handle not. Serve no purpose to the dealing with the heart. The law of God given to Moses, given to the people. God says, this first covenant, he found fault with it because in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, they continued not in my covenant. And we don't have to read much of the Old Testament to see that they would have their yearly sacrifice, and they would make sacrifice for their sins, and soon they were right back in the same old sins. Because as Hebrews tells us in another place, it could not cleanse the conscience. It couldn't go into the heart and cleanse the heart. So the law was a remembrance of sin, and year after year after year they made sacrifice, and the blood of oxen and bulls and goats and sheep was slaughtered. They were slaughtered, and the blood was put on the altar. But where? Where was the grace and the power of God to live in the reality of the presence of God? God said, this old covenant is ready to vanish away, to pass away. He finds fault with it, and I make a new covenant. A new covenant on better promises, a more excellent ministry. I'm going to do something new. The law could not empower them to walk with God in holiness, in obedience, in victory. And there was perpetual backsliding. I will make a covenant with the house of Israel and with Judah. And this covenant is different. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Now you say, well, Brother Aaron, I seem to know quite a few people in the New Covenant era, in the New Covenant dispensation, who it seems they live a lot like they did in the Old Covenant. They go to some meetings, they make sacrifice, they get fired up, but it doesn't last. A month later, a year later, it's a pretty sad testimony. Why is that? Do you know any people like that in the New Covenant dispensation who live like they're under the Old Covenant? They try harder to keep the commandments, try harder, but fail. And finally, some just give up. Because I've tried it so often. I'm tired of being defeated and discouraged. And hopelessness begins to set in. The New Covenant. Oh. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You that are really free. When the Son liberates you. When the Son declares freedom. When the Son declares forgiven. If the Son liberates you and makes you free, you are really free. Unquestionably free. Oh, but I'm not a slave to anybody. This was the dialogue Jesus was having with the Jews that day. We have Abraham to our fathers. We're not in bondage to anybody. But Jesus went right to the heart of the matter. And he said, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. I know you have the Mosaic law and the religious exercises and worships that you go through and your ceremonies. But I have a question for you. Are you free from sin? Are you free to live for God? Because you see, whoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Whosoever commits and practices sin is the slave of sin. And sin has got a hold on you. Do you have out religion, and are defeated? Or do you have Christ within and are victorious? That's the title to the message today. Outward religion equals defeat. Christ within equals victory. They had outward religion. And that outward religion was so strong, they couldn't see. We are Abraham's seed. We're not punished to anybody. I belong to the church. I tithe. I commune. I dress properly. I keep the law. I fast. But are you free from sin? Or are you a slave to sin? Ah, the new covenant. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away and all things are become new. He's a new creature altogether through and through. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. If the Spirit that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. And then we are no longer slaves to sin. You are no longer a debtor to sin, that you should live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit to mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Hallelujah. This is the new covenant. I will dwell in them. God has said, 2 Corinthians 6:16, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I will be a father to you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. We will look at a prophecy. Had a fulfillment in its time, but it was prophesying of the new covenant. Let's go to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. And let's look at a description. A description of this new covenant. Ezekiel 36. Outward religion equals defeat. Christ within equals victory. This is the covenant that I will make. Ezekiel 36 and verse 23. I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. There is a powerful witness when an individual, a sinner, is transformed and changed into a new creature. And God gets glory. Is that the same person? Brother West, is that the same person that used to worship idols and pour out oblations and was full of superstitious practices, witchcraft, idolatry? Is that the same person who now worships God and is free in Christ and is going about with a song and a joy? Is that the same person? Is that the same people that were hiding after Jesus was crucified, that are now boldly preaching Jesus? Is that the same individual? Something happened to him, and they took knowledge that they've been with Jesus. You see, when we are sanctified, the heathen take notice, and the testimony goes forth. Yeah, he was once an awful cheat and liar and drunkard, adulterer, fornicator. But today, what happened to him? And you see, God is sanctified before the heathen. When we are sanctified in Christ, God says in Ezekiel 36, verse 24, I will take you from among the heathen, gather you out of all the countries, and I'll bring you into your own land. I will take you where you have been held captive and in bondage, in those heathen lands where they took you and they bound you and they took you there. Or maybe you went there voluntarily. You thought it's going to be a great time out there. And I'm like the prodigal son. I'm going to take my inheritance. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to live it up. And you're out in that strange, far country. God says, I'm going to bring you back. What a rescue. I'll gather you. I will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. I was thinking of taking this vessel, this little glass dish that I have here, and just making it all dirty as an object lesson, and then wash it while I'm sharing the message. But I didn't make it all dirty. But you know, our vessel? Is it clean or is it dirty? Filthy. All filthiness of the flesh. All filthiness of the mind. I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and all your idols will I cleanse you. You see, this is the new covenant that he's prophesying about here. It had an application in its day, but I believe the full reality of it is in the new covenant era when he comes into our lives and our hearts and he cleanses us and he washes us and makes us every whit clean. He doesn't stop there. He says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. The hardest of hearts, harden sinners, harden religious people. I will take that stony, hardened heart out of you. And I will give you an heart of flesh. Wow. It's getting better all the time. Verse 27. And I will put my spirit within you. God says, in this new covenant relationship, I will put my spirit within you. Wow. And then he says, the result of God's spirit within you, my brother, my sister, my friend, is that God's spirit within you will cause you to walk in his statutes. It'll cause you to keep his statutes and commandments. Ye shall keep my judgments. God's Holy Spirit within is a power from within. It's not an external law that says, thou shalt not. But it's the power of God's Holy Spirit within enabling us, causing us as a new creation, a new creature in Christ, to have power. Wow. This is the covenant that I will make with them in those days, saith God. I will write my laws into their hearts and into their minds, into their inwardmost being. And that power of the Holy Ghost within will cause you to walk in my statutes. My dear friends, my brothers and sisters here today, I know what it is like to struggle against sin. I know what it's like to wrestle against a besetting sin. And I know what it's like to try harder and still no defeat. Still no K-N-O. Still be defeated. Is there anyone here today that can identify with that? I am wrestling. I am fighting. And I want to encourage us this morning. The Christian life is a warfare. And we wrestle and we fight. But I want to propose to you today that if you're living in a constant cycle of defeat, another meeting, another message, another Sunday, but then defeat. Something is not correct. Something is not right with that picture. Do I believe God or do I believe my experience? God says, I will write my law in your heart. I will put my spirit within you and I will cause you to walk. Wow. Now the righteous man falleth and gets up again. Right? So I'm not speaking and preaching sinless perfection here. But I am saying that God's Holy Ghost within us causes us to walk. We are not flat on our faces repeatedly in a headlock of the devil. We are not defeated continually. That same old sin, repeatedly. Oh, the pain, the grief. When I failed my Jesus again. And I don't want to. Oh, Lord. I want the reality of the Holy Spirit of God within. I need more than the law that is without telling me, Aaron, don't look upon that woman. Don't lust. I need more than the commandment to keep me. Now the commandment is good. The law is good. It shows me my need. But the grace and the power of the Holy Ghost within to give me power to cause me to walk in His statutes, and then the commandment becomes a promise. Thou shalt not. It's now a promise. You belong to God. In fact, 1 John gives us some very strong words. Ye that are in Christ, ye cannot sin because His Spirit abides within you. You can't do it. Because you belong to Jesus and His Spirit dwells within you. And if the Holy Spirit of God dwells within you, He makes you holy. And He gives you power and victory over sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you. You who are in Christ Jesus, bought with the precious blood of Jesus, redeemed and washed in the blood. Sin shall not have dominion over you. If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. My dear friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, I know what it's like to know the smarting defeat. It's sort of like, feels like, you get the victory, and you're walking along in victory, and then it's like something happens. And it's like, you're powerless. It's somehow like the devil's got a hook on me in that area, and he just takes that line and starts reeling it in. Why is that? I will put my Spirit in you. I will cause you to walk in my statutes. You shall keep my judgments and do them. Ye shall be my people and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleanness. Wow. All your uncleanness. Is this for me? Can I have that? I've tried to live the Christian life. For 9 months I held on gritting my teeth. But it was like I just had to keep working this thing up and fighting my way every inch. I finally quit. Finally got tired. Maybe you have not been born again by the Spirit of God and received the power of the Holy Ghost in your life. Maybe. I don't want to unsettle anyone here today. I want to qualify by saying, if any man sin, 1 John also said, where he said you cannot sin, he also said, in balancing Scripture with Scripture, if any man sin, we have an advocate with Jesus Christ the righteous. So there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But if I were you, And I were experiencing this roller coaster. It feels like victory, then it's defeat. Then it feels like victory, then it's defeat. If that were my continual experience, I hope I would get on my face before God and say, Lord, You have said in Your Word that if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things pass away. Lord, You have said in Your Word that when I'm born again by the Spirit of God, You put Your Spirit within me. And You give me power to walk in Your statutes and Your commandments and keep Your precepts. And You said You'll set me free from idols. Lord, why am I struggling so? Do you think God might want to answer that prayer? I think He would. You know, the Bible says, Lamentation 3:40, let us search and try our ways. Let us test and examine our ways. Lamentation 3:40. You see, because the problem isn't that God's promise is lacking and wanting, right? Is it God's fault? Is it His side that's lacking? No. Let us search and try our ways. In 2 Corinthians 13 it says, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Test your own selves. Prove yourselves. You know, I believe God would just love to answer that prayer. When we become before the Lord and we acknowledge, Lord, Psalm 19:12, who can understand His errors? I don't understand all these things, Lord. But God, I want You to cleanse me from my secret faults. I want You to search me out. Psalm 139:23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Know my heart, Lord. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And Lord, don't let me just sit there. Don't let me in that place after You have revealed my wicked ways and my faults and my sins. But, oh God, lead me by the power of Your Holy Ghost into Your path, into the way everlasting. God wants to answer that prayer, brother, sister. My dear friends, today, God wants to answer that prayer. If you find yourself living in defeat and discouragement, why is it possible that if this whole church building were my heart and my life, is it possible that when I get before God and God shows me some areas in my life, I say, oh yes, Lord, I'm sorry. Please cleanse me and forgive me of my sin, Lord. But when God shows me that one area, I don't really want to do, Brother Paul. I'd rather do this for You, Lord. That's my secret pet sin. And so, Lord, I'm willing to confess and repent of everything but this. But this. And by doing that, I give place to the devil. Lord, You can deal with anything You want in my life. But you know, anger runs in our family. My grandpa, he was angry. My dad had a terrible temper. Now, this is not true about my dad. But you know, we make those excuses. So, Lord, You understand. You know, I sometimes just fly off the handle a little bit and get a little angry. The context of this scripture in Ephesians where it says, neither give place to the devil, is in anger. Don't be angry. So I excuse it. I'm an angry husband. Frustrated husband. My wife doesn't perform the way I wish she would. I'm an angry father. My children don't obey like they ought to. And so I just give place to the devil. And he just sits right there on that chair. And so I run off to some seminar over here. And wow, God does a beautiful work in my life. And a short time later, I'm right back where I was. Why is that? Now, it could be that you're misinterpreting the Christian life and you wish one experience would take care of it all and then I never have to fight anymore. Wouldn't that be nice? One good dip at the fountain, one great cleansing, one great outpouring of the Holy Ghost, and I'm victorious from there on through and never have to fight any more battles. Is that reality? It is not reality. We must fight this warfare. Paul said, I have fought. I have kept the faith. We need to do the same. However, if there is a stronghold in my life, if there is an open door to Satan, where I made an agreement with Satan, I have an agreement with that sin in my life, and I will not bring it out. I have an agreement with Satan. And Satan has an agreement with me. Only way that will be broken is for me to confess that sin, to bring it to the light. You see, people love darkness rather than light, so they don't come to the light. 1 John is true if we confess our sins. But you see, God doesn't forgive unconfessed sin. We must confess our sins. We must break the agreements with the devil and with sin and my flesh. And I don't have time to get into that very deep this morning. But if you've committed fornication and you were one with an harlot, the Bible says that he who is joined unto an harlot has become one flesh with her. Don't you know that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost and you shall not defile the temple of God? And he that sins in that way, in immoral sin, opens the door. If you're guilty of fornication this morning, that may well be why you can go to the greatest church service and the greatest meeting and have a great time with God among God's people, but 2 weeks later, 4 months later, you're back at the same place. Because that lust, that hook, just reeled you in. Now, there's a lot of teaching on this subject. But I believe, in simplicity of the gospel, that if we will get on our faces before God, and we will agree with God, and we'll not lie against the truth about my experience. You see, as long as I'm satisfied where I'm at, in a half anemic, lukewarm Christian experience, well, then okay. I'll just stay there, right? God's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. If I agree with God about the sin in my life, and I get before God and say, God, Your Word tells me this is what a Christian looks like. This is what a new covenant believer looks like and walks like. This is what his fellowship with God looks like. Lord, I don't have it. I remember coming to the stark reality of that in my own life. I saw other Christians who were full of the Holy Ghost and power. And I didn't have it, and I knew I didn't have it. But oh, I wanted it. And brother, sister, this morning, my dear friend, this morning, if you want it, and when you seek God with all your heart, and you get honest with God, and you allow the examination of God upon your life, and you examine yourself, and I examine myself, do you think God will show us? He will! It's not His will that we walk around defeated. It's not His will that we walk around with sin having dominion over us. And we're reeled back into that same lust of the flesh. That same anger. That same pride. That same rebellion. That unforgiveness. That bitterness. That love of the world and all its stuff. And like Lot's wife, we are captivated by the stuff. And when God wants to lead us out of that captivity, we turn back. And we're defeated.
It's like there's this cloud over my life. This dark cloud. This oppression. And I can feel it. My dear fathers and mothers today, if you're living in sin, and this dark cloud is over your life, it is also over your spouse, it is also over your home and your children. God forbid that I should give place to the devil by my unforgiveness. God forbid that I should give place to the devil, to my children and my family, by my moral failure continually. And the devil has his place there. Yep, the whole house is empty, swept and garnished, nice and clean. I repented of all that sin and that sin and this sin and that sin. The whole auditorium is cleansed. But this one area, I just can't give it up. And so there's this cloud over my life. Just a little rebellion. You know, Mom and Dad, I really love you. I really want to honor you. I really want to be under your authority. But that's too hard. You're asking too much of me. I can't do that. Just a little bit of rebellion. My way. Just a little bit of stubbornness. But wow. God is doing so many beautiful things in my life and I got so gloriously set free. But here it's not too long later and I'm back in bondage. Why? Could it be that there's an open door to Satan somewhere in your life? Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Ask God to search you and to open the doors of His grace and His revelation in my life. Let's go to James chapter 4. I see the time is drawing time for me to close. James chapter 4. I want to encourage us today. Why this warring? Why this fighting? Why this? Whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your own lusts that war against your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war and yet ye have not, because ye ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Ah, but He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. And let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He shall lift you up. I believe with all my heart, if we will follow these simple instructions from the heart of God, and we submit ourselves to God, and we open our hearts to God, and we say, Lord, search me, try me. Lord, why am I defeated? The Christian life, the new covenant, is to be a life of fellowship with Christ. It's to be a life of power and grace and victory in my life. Why am I continually defeated? And we submit ourselves to God. Then I do a second thing. claim the promises of God for the new covenant life that He has provided for you and I. Lay hold on those. God, this is what You said. Go ahead, memorize. Memorize Ezekiel 36, where God said, this is what I will do. And where you find that your own experience in life is not in harmony and agreement with what God has said, say, Lord, I confess my need. And I ask You, Lord, to show me any open door. Maybe you need to break off that girlfriend. Maybe you need to break off that boyfriend. Maybe you need to renounce that fornicated relationship and break that soul tie. Because when you commit fornication, you open your door to whatever evil, wicked spirits are upon that other person. And you also open the door to Satan. I could name a lot of things this morning, but I'll leave the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. Maybe you're so steeped in your outward tradition and religion. You're so concerned about how you look to everybody else. And you got to prop up this image of I'm this godly man. We're this godly family. And we dress just right. But inside, it's full of deadness and iniquities and sins. But we prop it up to make it look good on the outside. You know, if you ask God in all sincerity of heart, get brutally honest before God, He'll show you that. He will. I believe He will. God is not unrighteous. God is no respecter of persons. He will lay His finger on my sin, and He will show me. But I have to be diligent about it. I have to stir up myself to take a hold of God and not just say, okay, well, this is good enough. I think I got one foot in heaven. I think I might make it by the skin of my teeth. Oh, I know I have a lot of defeat in my life, but yeah, well, if that's what you're satisfied with, yeah, you're not going to get more. But if you long for the new covenant relationship where God's Spirit is at work in your life, and you say, Lord, I am not satisfied where I'm at. Show me, Lord, my besetting sin. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Encourage us to practice this. Now in 1 Corinthians 6, it tells us this. Take courage, my brother, my sister, my friends. Know ye not the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? They're not going to. It doesn't matter how you Christianize gay marriage. It doesn't matter how you Christianize anything. You see, not all that is called Christian is Christian. Paul said, there are some who, I tell you, they are enemies of the cross of Christ. They promise you liberty while they themselves are in bondage. They make merchandise of you. Don't you know the unrighteous are not going to inherit the kingdom of God? Oh, but in America, it's different. Our gospel is different. Is it the gospel that saves? Is it the gospel that gives victory over sin? Don't you know the unrighteous are not going to inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived about this. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortionists, not going to inherit the kingdom of God. But here's something very beautiful. It's beautiful because Jesus came not for the righteous, but for the sinners. And He says, and such were some of you. Ah, and that list, let's see here, effeminate, homosexuals. Wow, you mean it's possible a homosexual can get this experience? Yes, such were some of you. Fornicators, adulterers, thieves, covetous, drunkards. Yeah, such were some of you. But ye are washed. Hallelujah. You're washed. So here today, take courage, my friends. If you find yourself in any of these categories, and you find yourself in a besetting sin, the new covenant power is for us today. You're washed. Wow. Fully washed. You're sanctified, made holy, consecrated to God. You're justified. Justified to be righteous. Oh, I love the way Brother Denny used to preach it. He'd almost leap off the platform. Justified! Just as if I'd never sinned. Oh, glory! Remember that? Some of you are here long enough to remember Brother Denny preaching on justification. Just as if I'd never sinned. Glory to God! What a standing is mine! Well, when we enter into this new covenant, we take hold by faith and we believe God, then we're under His covering, praise God. It's a lot bigger than that old other thing. You know, the devil's covering, his cloud over us. But when we're under God and we get under His covering, it tells us in Psalm 91 about that covering, and we'll look at that in a little bit. Oh, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, he shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Well, what did I do with this thing? It works. I had it open earlier this morning. He shall cover thee. He shall cover thee under the shadow of His wing. He shall cover thee. He'll not only cover you, He'll cover your loved ones. You abide there under the shadow of the Almighty. Just have to look at those few verses there. It's just beautiful. We could read the whole chapter. Oh, my dear brother, sister. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His trust shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Oh, praise God. Covered, dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of the Almighty, and those fiery darts of the enemy. And when the devil tries to reel us back in, God is my refuge. And there is no more place for the devil. Because I renounced all those things. I broke all those ties in Jesus' name. I repented of my sin. I owned it. I didn't blame it on my father, my brother, my mother, my uncle, my dad. But I took responsibility for it myself. And I repented of my sin. And I got thoroughly cleansed and washed. And the devil has no more place, just like Jesus. The devil couldn't find anything in Him. It says there about Jesus, and the devil found no place in Him. And that can be our experience, brother, sister. And we are covered under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This umbrella seen its better days. But it still serves as an object. Well, the burden of my message today on my heart is that somehow God in His goodness and His mercy would turn a light on in our hearts wherever there's a besetting sin, wherever Satan has a stronghold in our lives, and faith would arise. You see, with God, all things are possible. When the rich young ruler went away sorrowful, the disciples were exceeding amazed. He said, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." That man is so in love with his money that he walks away from Jesus. And he will not take up his cross and follow Jesus. He'd rather have his money for a few fleeting moments upon the earth and what it can buy. And the disciples heard it. And it tells us in Mark's Gospel, they were astonished out of measure, saying, who then can be saved? I mean, this man's sins are so blinding his eyes that he walks away from Jesus? How many times have I done that? My sin blinds my eyes. Oh, that God would open our eyes to see Jesus. And to see that though it looks impossible with me, I cannot save myself. I've been in this rut for who knows how long. Like that woman for 12 years with an issue of blood, spent all her money, all her living trying to get better. Still in her sickness. Oh, it looks impossible to man. Yeah, Jesus acknowledged, it's impossible with men, but with God all things are possible. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. I want to encourage you with those words today. That man whose son was casting himself into the fire and into the water, and he was tormented of demons. Oh, when Jesus came on the scene after from Mount of Transfiguration, he said, can you help me? If thou canst do anything, Lord Jesus, have compassion and help us. And Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. You see, here's the key. Faith. I believe Jesus. I believe that Jesus Christ took my sin upon himself and died on Calvary's cross. And I believe that by his stripes I am healed. I believe. Amen, young man. I believe. All things are possible to him that believeth. Out of the mouth of babes, perfected praise. The father cried with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Help me overcome my unbelief. Lord, I believe. Help me not to doubt. Lord, I believe. Help my weakness of faith. Jesus, I believe. This besetting sin that has held me captive for all these years, it shall no longer have dominion over me. Because I come to you, Jesus, in repentance and confession and in faith, believing. Jesus, I believe. Help me not to doubt. Lord, I will not let you go until you bless me. Until my experience lines up with the testimony of a new covenant Christian. If that's your longing desire today, I believe God will grant you your desire. If you're willing to be brutally honest and not lie against the truth. Not give the devil any room, no longer. And trust Jesus. I am not able to deliver myself. Impossible. I can put on a little more plain clothes. I can go to a few more seminars. I can read a few more books. I can try harder. But until I surrender all to Jesus there at the foot of the cross, it's victory. Do you have an outward religion that says, I must do this and I must keep that and I can't do this and I can't do that, and living in defeat, and you're a slave to sin? Or do you have the inward reality of Christ within? God bless you, Brother Paul. As you moderate the rest of the service, we love you. I love you. You're my friends. No greater desire that we all walk in the fullness of the blessing of the promise of the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Aaron. I'm sure we can all relate to what you shared today one way or the other. Like Aaron said, you know, the good news is that if you came here today with a room in your life, with a bondage, with a something God's put His finger on, you don't have to leave with it. And I thought it would be a blessing to sing the song 787. Could you lead that, Wes, from your seat there and get us started? This is a song talking about how we were once in sin's darkest night, wandering alone, a stranger to mercy. But the Savior came nigh when He heard my faint cry, and He put my sins under the blood. If you can sing that with all your might today, with joy, that's your reality, let's sing that out. With joy and thanksgiving that my sins are under the blood. And if not, I just encourage you right now to make that step towards God. You know, it's said in James there where you were reading, Aaron, if we come near to God, He will come near to us. Amen. You take a step toward God, He'll take a step towards you. He'll probably take more than one step. So while we're singing that, if you need to take a step toward God, do that. You can come up here if you want. You don't have to. You can do that right in your seat. But let's sing that with rejoicing, whoever can, of what Jesus has done to deliver us. Go ahead, Wes.
This night I was wandering alone, a stranger to mercy I stood. But the Savior came nigh when He heard my faint cry, and He put my sins under the blood. They are covered by the blood. They are covered by the blood. My sins are all covered by the blood. My iniquities so vast have been blotted out at last. My sins are all covered by the blood. From the burden I carried, now I am set free, for Jesus has lifted my load. Oh, the love and the grace I received in its place when He put my sins under the blood. They are covered by the blood. They are covered by the blood. My sins are all covered by the blood. My iniquities so vast have been blotted out at last. My sins are all covered by the blood. I can ne'er understand why He sought even me, why His lifeblood on Calvary flowed. But sufficient for me, since He died on the tree, He has put my sins under the blood. They are covered by the blood. They are covered by the blood. My sins are all covered.
Jesus, for your blood. Thank you for that sacrifice on the cross. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to carry them anymore. You said you will remember them no more. Thank you, Lord. We do pray this morning for any here who are struggling with sin, any who are defeated by sin. We ask you, O God, that you would touch them today. We pray for absolute surrender in all of our lives, Lord. Deliver us from self-will. Deliver us, Lord, from our pet sins, from our going our own way. And Lord, raise us up to be a people of absolute surrender to you, that you can work through in this dark world of sin and of Satan. Shine your light through us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. God, speak to anybody here today that's something you should share. Maybe you want to confess something. Maybe you want to praise the Lord. Raise your hand if you have something to share. We'll get you a microphone.
I just want to thank Brother Aaron for the message, because it just spoke so much to me today, because it was exactly what I had been going through this week, and that God has answered prayer and that I have victory and can claim His promises. And I feel like I should share. I did share it yesterday at the prayer meeting, but I feel like it should be something that I should share again today. That this week I was just, I have struggled so much with thought life. Thoughts just coming in, my thoughts roaming, wandering. And one day I came home from work, it was on Thursday, and I just felt so miserable. It was like, I just can't get over these thoughts that just come in. And so I thought, I'm going to search, see what God's Word has to say to me, something. And so I opened up to John chapter 15, verse 16. And this was what he had said, and it says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask in the name of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." And I claimed that promise for myself, and I just got on my knees and prayed and asked God to help me, show me what was the stronghold of my life in this area and the root of it. And just ask to show me something. So finally, the next day, I came home from work. I wasn't feeling well. I laid down on my bed, and during the day at work, there were some thoughts that were starting to come in. It's like, I'm not going down that road. I'm just that I've already claimed promise. I'm not going there. And then I came home, and I wasn't feeling well. I laid down on my bed, and my mind started to wander a little bit and just kind of roam again. And then there were two words that came to me, and I know it had to be from God. It said, vain imaginations. And I thought, okay, I know this is from God. I got up and I looked. I wanted to see what exactly were vain imaginations. And when I looked in the dictionary, it said that it was self and pride, and that it was focusing on myself. And I just saw that for what it is, and I just thank God for what He has shown me, and to have that, rooted out of my life. Now I can see it. And I just want to give God the glory, and thank you, Brother Aaron, for the message today.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I was just talking with Laura about this yesterday, I guess it was. Yeah. Just the how we can turn this thing around. That changes everything. One little letter. Instead of poor me, which I think we can all relate to that, can't we? We feel that way sometimes. But to turn that around and say, Lord, pour me. Pour me out, God. It's not about me. What a victory comes to us. Just one little letter. You have one here?
When Brother Aaron talked about the commandment being turned into a promise, kind of like a light went on in my head. I never thought about it that way. It was like, thou shalt not, rather than you won't do it. You won't want to do it. And I know I've experienced that in some areas of my life, that just, I don't even have a desire for some of those things anymore. But there's some other areas that I still need victory in. So I just want to keep on until the commandment be, and I see the fulfillment of that promise.
Just one over there.
I just want to thank you, Brother Aaron, for sharing. God does reveal those things in our lives if we really want them rooted out. I just praise God for that. It's truth. He wants to reveal the roots in my life. I just pray that if there is anything that is not of Him, that He will continue to show me. Thank you.
Amen.
There was one remark that Aaron made as somebody taking responsibility. I think that's the most important thing. Try to shift blame to somebody else. It's somebody else's fault, then I can't do anything about it. But if I take responsibility, there's overcoming power in that.
Amen. That was one of the marks of when I knew I was a different person. When I've been born again, was before that, my problems were other people's fault. When I came to the Lord, for the first time in my life, I said, I'm the problem. It's me. It's me, God. It's me. And that was a real thing to me. It wasn't my father's fault. It wasn't whoever's fault. And that brought such liberty. Because I can't change other people. But I can be changed by the Lord. Amen. All right, was there any other hand here?
Go
ahead.
Real short. Interesting. As we looked at those verses, the Lord said nearly a dozen times, I will, I will. And when God says, I will, do you think He will? Yes, I will. One of the things He said was, I will put my spirit in you. I will put my spirit in you. Oh, I hope this doesn't fall. And my spirit in you is going to overflow out of your life. My spirit in you is going to cause you to walk in my statutes and keep my commandments. My spirit in you is going to sanctify you, and it's going to glorify me, saith God. The heathen shall know that there's a God in heaven, because my spirit in you, flowing out of you, is touching many lives, and you're poured out. Now I leave it to Paul.
What do you do with that? Amen. That's what I want to be. Have His Spirit pouring out through me. Amen. Praise God. Well, got a lot to think about here today. Let's take some time today to not just forget about what we heard, but to meditate. Let it sink deep into our hearts.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.